coral reef bombing with the queen, diplomatic immunity, and suck it hyphens. You know that's right. It's episode one, season six of this podcast and of Psych. And it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joan, riding shotgun with me in the blueberry, as always, is the free ballin', Z Cavaricci wearing, Cane's donut eating, woo, sun's out, buns out, Revere Beach strutting, wine and dining, 69, and son of a gun, he's having a hard time holding those alligators down, woo! William, my man, how you doing?
Hello, we nailed the open. Both of us.
We did.
Cold and regular. Let's do it.
Nailed it. You like the Z Cavaricci reference?
I do. I really do. That's from the horse racing episode, I believe.
I can see you rocking a pair of Z Cavaricci.
Return your comb back to the pocket of your Z Cavaricci's.
I was trying to find a way to work in like sideburn lines, rat tail. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna paint a picture of a real, you know,
used to be a piece, you know, of
redneck.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. I could do a good one with that one. All right. Speaking of which, free plug, Mac and Goo trivia, I think you should leave, is Wednesday the 24th, I believe, at Idle Hands.
Yeah, so if you're watching live a week from yesterday, or hopefully soon when you're listening to this podcast.
Yes, if it hasn't gone past the date of expiration, I believe it's Wednesday the 24th. But join us. We'll be there, you know, with our fedoras. Going to be rocking it. So anyways, that's a different podcast for a different day, William. Today, we are discussing Psych Season 6, Episode 1, Sean Rescues Darth Vader. And before we dive into the goodness that is this episode, why don't you remind the people of our process?
Well, I think I'll let Sean remind everyone of our process.
Usually starts with a holla and ends with a creamsicle. And then if there's time in between, Thundercats.
Ho!
Ho!
Oh. Ow, skinny Sean. It's been a while. It's been a hot minute.
Yep. This is peak chubby Sean. I catch him wearing Spanx once or twice this season.
No shit. Oh, yeah. I love that. That's tremendous. I think I might be in the Spanx phase of my life. Mm. When I turned 40, I started getting targeted ads on Instagram for man Spanx.
Oh, I haven't gotten those yet. A lot of hair stuff. So
yeah, but you're Billy Biceps. You're not going to get Spanx. Season 6, Episode 1, Sean rescues Darth Vader. Synopsis. While helping a young client get his Star Wars collection action figure back from a wealthy man, Sean finds the action figure and a dead body in the mansion. He puts on his psych act and tells the police there is a crime at the mansion. So real quick, some quick thoughts here. I remember when this episode debuted. So I had been watching Psych and a lot of it on reruns, you know, at chiropractic school. And then when I graduated, got out, Megan and I got an apartment. And I remember the two of us, like, this was like, you know, appointment television, right? Mm-hmm. We're watching this and just remember loving this episode right from the get-go. But I think this is one that gets a lot better on rewatch, because now that you kind of know how season 6 and 7 and 8 go, and how, you know, like we've been talking now for the past couple episodes, Sean's been getting a little sloppy and he's getting dangerously close to his gift, quote unquote, you know, getting, you know, revealed or exposed. They do a really, just as they did a really good job building up Sean and Jules' relationship, they do a really good job at building up what's inevitably going to lead to the breakup of Sean and Jules here. And that's Sean sort of, you know, letting the cat out of the bag, so to speak. But I thought this was a great way to start the season. This season 6 has, I think, one of the best 1-2 punches that the series has.
No, the first and the second episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. It is, it's a great way to kick off the season. It's espionage, but it's not as grand as they usually do it. Smaller scale, which I think fits their show better. And, you know, you make the good point of it's building the relationship with Sean and Jules. They've kind of gotten to that point. They're together now. And now it's also setting up the inevitable, you know, breakup and get back together. But this episode is again, I use this term often with Psych, but it's a delight. I mean, there's jokes I forgot about that are fucking killer. And anytime he does anything with British people, and I know Jake said he hated the season 8 debut, which is also a British spin as well. Anytime he talks about the Queen, it kills me. It absolutely kills me. Like chloral reef bombing, right? Queen, like beer pong with Prince Harry. Like his idea of the royal family it slays me.
He's a result of several centuries of inbreeding, right? We're talking about the two kids that they cast in this episode. I refer to them fondly as the two little shits. Throughout the episode, they were absolutely great. And another thing that I love too is that I mentioned Sean's sort of sloppiness, and they do a really good job at highlighting that throughout the episode with his way too specific visions, but also the fact that he has to, you know, rule himself out as a subject or, mm-hmm. you know, as an unsub, because they keep referring to this mysterious, you know, intruder that was right. And he goes, no, it wasn't him. I guarantee it wasn't him, because it was him mm-hmm. that was, you know, slinking through the house trying to get this, you know, this Darth Vader. So, you know, another thing too that happens in season 6, like we see it, like I think it really does start with season 4 where USA goes all in on Psych, especially like with the use of like John Cena. They're integrating mm-hmm. the wrestlers, but like we're right now at like Psych, you know, is like, you know, I believe because Monk is winding down, Psych is now like USA's like top dog. And mm-hmm. so this is where we start getting, I think we'll start getting this season a lot more obvious pineapple references. You know, the clues, the things, because they start doing like contests and stuff like that. I think this is when the psychos becomes a thing. So season 6 is, as you said, a true delight, and it really does start with this episode. Billy, why don't you tell the people who the director and the writer is for this episode?
Director writer Steve Franks, and obviously we know who Steve Franks is, also the writer of the episode. It does have a very Franksy feel to it, and you know, he's the creator of Psych, so these characters are always best served under his guise. So when he directs it, you can kind of tell and feel that it's his episode. And we can go through, like, you know, Shaun of the Dead, 6 Feet Underground, Extradition. He does all the Despero ones. I guess he likes British people too. Romeo and Juliet, Extradition 2, Sean rescues Darth Vader in this season, Psych the Musical, Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrels. Like, he is obviously, you know, the guy, the creator of the show. And I like when he has a written and directed episode, because, you know, not that it gets away from everybody. We love Psych and we love all the episodes, but it is nice when it, like, this feels like a full Psych episode with all the tropes, all the references, and, you know, just like when he litters to kick up the diplomatic immunity when he throws the scrap of paper on the ground. Like, I don't know if that's a Franks thing or a James Rodde thing, but that fucking kills me.
Yeah. There's, you know, you can always tell a Franks episode, because I think the back and forth, especially between Sean and Gus, is always at some of its best.
Mm-hmm.
And we get some really great Woody, right? So I think like the witty, quick writing, you know, that's a Frank staple. But it's kind of a, you know, a 50-50. It's a mixed bag here with the episodes, because there's some really good episodes in there, and then there's some that are kind of meh that are in there. But overall, I think when you have that clarity of vision, you know, by Franks, it's a really great, it's going to be a really great episode. Standout guest star, Malcolm McDowell. That's kind of a big get.
Yeah. And kind of to your point of, they kind of, you know, empty the, everything they have into Psych season 6, because it's USA's mainstay. You get some pretty good ones. Just off the top of my head, you get, the dude from Lethal Weapon in, the baseball episode,
Danny Glover.
Yep. You get Jason Priestley and Tony Hale. You get French Stewart.
Oh, that's an all-timer.
Unbelievable. And then I'm trying to think of if there's anybody else that's kind of big. You get the guy from Drew Carey in one of the episodes. He's not that big, but there are some pretty good guest stars in this season as well. So, you know, they don't cheap out on the guest stars either.
No, and especially with the French Stewart one, not only is he an all-time great psych character, but it's got an all-time great psych name, Whip Chatterley.
Whip Chatterley. Whip right? Cream, Whip. Was it?
Fruit. I actually used this the other day at the office where I said fruit and dried fruit are not snacks. Because I went into the little snack room to look for something, and usually there's someone has baked something or brought something in. I'm looking around, and one of the other doctors goes, "Oh, there's some dried fruit if you want it." And I go, "Oh." I just tilted my head and I said, "Fruit and dried fruit are not snacks." It got a nice little chuckle. I think just because I'm a fat guy saying that, and I don't think they got the psych reference, but
no,
it's still love that. Use it whenever I get the chance. So Malcolm McDowell, he's a big get. He was in Clockwork Orange, right? A movie which I will never watch. Simply because the movie poster freaks me the fuck out, and it's the one with the dude in the top hat and the
yeah, eye. But like Caligula, I think he was in one of the Halloweens.
Yeah, he's big time.
He's in Father Stew.
So we don't get a flashback scene to start this episode, which has actually become more of a regular occurrence. But what I will say, William, is that they don't do a flashback scene. I should correct that at the beginning of the episode. But they do it at the end, which is something I don't think they've really done before.
Never to close it. Like, it was the clincher. It was almost like a post-credit scene, which I thought was actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know, we all hate the hats thing, but this is not a hats thing. This is a pretty good thing that he tells Sean that he'll need. You know, one day you may need to use this, maybe when you're being, you know, undercover or whatever, but probably not. And I've always thought of this too. You know, because of the George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Right.
So I always thought if I was, you know, maybe it would mess it up or, you know, whatever. But my thing, even when I was a kid, I was like, if I was ever going to get a lie detector, because, you know, I'm fucking a crazy person thinking of that scenario. But I would always just, whatever they asked me, I would have like, did you kill Abe Lincoln in your head?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like, no. And then you answer that question.
Right,
and then
if
it's a yes question, like in your head, you ask yourself, is your name Billy? Yes.
Yeah. Yep. See, you're mauled and born and raised. It's like in your DNA, right? But I loved how they did that. And because it was great because, you know, this episode, we get a lot of lie detection being done. So the way this
three times
and all very important and great scenes. But I love the way this episode sort of starts. It's almost got it's not an apples to apples sort of comparison to Ocean's 11, but it's got that James Bondish, just kind of like, you know, try sneaking around, trying not to get caught kind of thing to it. And I love the music. Psych always nails this with their score. Like their music always matches the tone perfectly to what they're trying to achieve. But we see it right from the rip. Sean's very sloppy and cavalier, just sort of sauntering through this ambassador's mansion, you know, like, you know, just like it ain't no thing. Cause he's there, as we find out, to recover a kid's action figure that, you know, this kid had borrowed and refused to give back. So he's just like, fuck it. I'm going to hire someone, to steal it back for me. And, this kid, He's a little shit.
He's better than the other one. I do like him. You know, he's given like he's the little kid that I was. Smart ass, but not like he was never wrong. He was never wrong in anything he said. So he was on top of that. And I also wonder, and like we just got to ask Steve Franks, who cares if he's been on the other podcast a million times. But like I feel like when he does an episode like this after, you know, maybe not necessarily the characters or the story or like the stuff getting away from him. But like he tries, it seems to be like, these are the consequences of the crazy actions you've taken. You've been so sloppy. We're going to dial it back, put you in your place, kind of give you an obstacle to overcome. And I think that's what this episode does really nicely. And you're right. It starts off with him almost more cavalier than ever. just flouting absolutely everything at a diplomat's house.
Yeah, it's sort of like Jason Tatum and the Celtics just thinking they can walk over the Miami Heat. You cannot. Jimmy Butler's a bad man. But while we're there, you know, while we're in the ambassador's house, we find out that there's a gathering at that house. There's a big party because a young man named Colin had been wrongfully accused of a murder of a young girl, and he had been exonerated. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of why the celebration's going on, and it's actually a great cover for Sean to kind of slink around and kind of go unnoticed because there is so much, you know, going on. But he gets very close to getting caught. You know, he gets into the kid's room, and instead of just retrieving Darth Vader and getting out of there, he decides he's going to play some video games.
Suck it, hyphens.
Right? Eat some crisps. And he sort of takes his time. He gets spotted by
Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah. So he goes into a room, and he's got to hide. He dives under the bed, and lo and behold, what does he see?
Dead body.
He sees a dead body. And, you know, so he's like, oh, shit, now he's got to get out of there. As he tries to go out the window, the Her Royal Majesty's Secret Service spots him. So we get a cool little badass escape scene here. Mm-hmm. Sean sort of jumps off a roof into a thing, finds Gus, and they take off. So, again, a lot of sloppiness here because Sean's never usually detected like that. And now there's, like, he could be placed at the scene, you know, of a crime.
Pretty easily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which comes into the story a little bit later, which I thought was done really well. So now we go to the station, Billy, and Lassie's, I'll ask you, is Lassie being a prick here?
I think Juliet and Sean are also being a little bit of a prick because they've hit it from, like, they got together in, let's see, episode 10 of last year.
Yep.
So that's, you know, six episodes there coming here. And where last season ends, right, in the police station is kind of where we're exactly back to. But yep. Now he's on the other side of the glass. He calls O'Hara in under some ruse of the poly not working. We immediately know where it's going. He asks her the test question of the name. And then, are you dating somebody? She's evasive. So it's very clear he knows and she knows. He knows. So they're at those odds already. And again, that's a good little tension builder because she doesn't want to admit it because she can still just claim ignorance. So I really do like that setup. It's got another strong plot point put into it super early, which usually isn't the case. And, you know, it's a little bit of evolved storytelling. Not that they don't tell great stories, but like this doesn't usually happen, you know, at, let's say, minute 7 of one of these episodes.
This is one of the more layered episodes they've had in some time. You know, I think we've had a lot of linear episodes, you know, lately, you know, the finale notwithstanding, because that was sort of the finishing of a trilogy. But in the episodes leading up to that, it's sort of just been a lot of Sean, a lot of Gus, very little to no B plot, just kind of A through, you know, going from A to B there. But this one's got layers. It's like an onion. It's like an ogre. It's got layers. That's right. And another thing that we get here at the station too is that Sean and Gus arrive. Now they're going to try and alert the cops that there's a dead body through a psychic vision. Mm-hmm. And this is where Sean gets way too specific, because Lassie's like, he's like, you know, Sean tells him he had a vision of a woman's dying in a house nearby, and Lassie's like, well, that narrows it down. So then Sean, like, boom, gives the exact address.
3445, blah, blah, right? Blah.
Describes the woman perfectly, and everyone, even Gus with Sean, stop being so specific. And I love this. This line kills me. He's like, she was wearing a dress and very expensive earrings, which reminds me of what's his name on So You Think You Can Leave, where he says, the ice cream.
Ice cream store. I can't even say it as like annoying as he does. Is it like a Philly accent? Ice cream.
It's like ice cream. No, he goes, I had it second ago and I lost it.
Suck.
Earrings. We do suck. We're going to nail that fucking trivia though. Earrings, which just kills me. That's another thing that Sean does really well in this episode is like his enunciations, especially when he's doing a British accent. He's fucking spot on. this episode. So they go to the address, and it ends up being a diplomat's address. And I love where fucking Lassie says here, he's something to the effect of, "Oh, great, Sean. We're at an ambassador's house. You know, we'd have an easier time getting into North Korea."
Yeah.
right. Than getting in there. But again, we get sort of the British people living there, the woman being a little like, "No, sorry, this is mm-hmm. British soil. You get off. We have immunity." And I love this exchange. This is very Franksian, where Sean just goes, "They could just whip out immunity and that's it." Yep. And Gus goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "All right, put that on my bucket list."
Before or after the invisible plane? No, before. No, after.
Yeah, right, but and they have that great little back and forth. So then it's a great little, again, minor thing where Sean becomes obsessed with diplomatic immunity. Wouldn't you?
I mean, there's a Family 100%. Guy episode with it. Like if you like the list that he gives him with the beer pong with Prince Harry, manscaping yeah. with Charles. Like,
can I pee off a bus?
Would you? Yeah, I don't know. It depends on the bus.
Right. Absolutely, of course I would. I would 100% be Sean in this. You know, and then when he goes to actually, you know, use his diplomatic immunity later. But Sean is, you know, this is where we meet Malcolm McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "What the, you know, we don't go in for this kind of nonsense." And then Sean gives a description of the woman. And he goes, "Well, she's describing Anna Beth." So we learn the victim's name. And I don't know about you, Billy, but like usually when you watch a psych episode, you can. They do the red herring thing really well a lot of the times, and they do mm-hmm. a pretty good job at not giving away, the bad guy. But usually when you have a guest star, it's like, okay, that's probably going to be it. But I thought Malcolm McDowell, I should say, not the
Michael singer. McDonald.
Right. Does a really good job of getting you to believe that he's not the suspect, which, spoiler alert, is the case. He's not the suspect, but isn't he kind of thing that goes along. But he's very believable from the rip that he's very concerned about, Annabeth.
Yeah, they give you a lot of good twists and turns in this one. They go in there, you know, look under the bed. Nobody's under the bed. Look yep. again. Nobody's under the bed, obviously. So then Sean figures out that somebody had moved the body. They figure out it went down into the pool room. Boom, goes the dynamite. Annabeth dead in the pool. So it's a nice little twist to it, too, that the body wasn't there. So it was moved post-mortem, as they say on Criminal Minds. So,
always at the second location.
Yeah.
Is that the next podcast? Are we going to have to rip through like 12 seasons?
There's not enough. It's like 17. And there's not enough like character development to really like dig in. Like there's like a little bit at the end of each episode. And I was saying this to a person at work today, like when they do the character development stuff, like at the end of the episode, when it's like real, like sentimental, the rest of the episode's beautifully written, super intense. And then they do that. And it's like the most cringy Lifetime shit. And I'm just like, I'm not even like upset by it. I'm just sitting there like smiling. Like this is fucking terrible. Like they don't know how to do it, or like they purposely want it to be like Lifetimey.
I haven't watched Criminal Minds since season 7, season 8. Whatever season they were in 2017, because that's when Violet was born. And I remember we were in the hospital, and the Patriots had just won the Super Bowl. The Bruins were out here having the parade. We're flipping through channels. I'm like, oh, let's put on, you know, Criminal Minds, or it might have been SVU, one of those two shows. And it had to do with a kid being like
child abduction.
Yep. And we both said nope, and we've watched neither Criminal Minds or SVU since.
Yeah, no, it keeps me up at night.
but fun fact, Rossi, right, the detective, that was the voice of Fat Tony in The Simpsons.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the all-time great characters. But anyways, before we leave the ambassador's house and head to the station, Jules finally admits to Lassie, out of sheer frustration because Lassie had been badgering the shit out of her, that she is, in fact, in a relationship with Sean. And I don't know if Lassie overreacts or not, but I get how he responds here. And it does, like I said, it does to me feel like a bit of an overreaction, but I understand it. I get it. But he wants to go talk to the chief about getting a new partner because he can't trust Jules anymore. And you can see, I mean, I can understand why Jules wanted to keep it from him, but she also should have told, if anyone, him. Mm-hmm. And I get why he's pissed, but he should also have seen it coming.
Yeah, it's a very obvious problem. Lassie's reaction, I think, is not disproportionate. I think it's pretty proportional to, not like necessarily the level of betrayal, but necessarily that she wouldn't trust him with that piece of information after all they've been through. They right. could have figured out a way to talk through it, even though he hates, we know he doesn't deep down hate Spencer, but you know, he gets his goat. So I can see, you can see all sides of the coin there. So they yeah. go back to the station. They tell Chefique, she's like N capital O. And then you find out, well, she finds out that Lassie hooked her up to a polygraph, and she can't believe that. And Juliet doesn't want the new partner.
Yeah. She's like, I love the line where she goes, wait, you hooked her up to a polygraph and you're the one that wants a new partner.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so that was great. And I love that Chief Vic didn't want to know anything about it. She's nope. Mm-hmm. Does it have anything to do with, nope. Is it going to prevent you from, nope. Let's solve this case. So I thought that was great. And this is where we also learn that Colin, had been, you know, imprisoned falsely, mm-hmm. And his eventual release, and he was cleared of all charges by Annabeth, who's now dead. So, like, we are weaving quite the tale here, right? Where you've got this kid who's been in prison for killing a young woman, who's now freed, but the woman who freed him is now dead. You still like, well, what's the motive? Who's a possible suspect here? Like, I love, this is when Sykes at its best, when you've got something that's really intriguing, but you don't know which way the story is freaking going. And you've already laughed a ton. And then what else happens here too, is Henry's like, he goes, you're fucking there, weren't you? Mm-hmm. And I, we all know Henry is me. Me is Henry. Mm-hmm. And I love how I've always just sort of had this thing about Henry as being a prick. And he was a bit of a prick early on the first few seasons, but he's really grown on. I see him differently now, you know, as a father. I don't know, you know, being a father, Billy, it changes you. And but I love how protective he gets a child. Sometimes it's a little detrimental, but he's like, listen, kid, you got to clean up your shit. Right, because
you wind up becoming the prime suspect and you're gonna blow your cover.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And he was real and he was honest. And so Sean now starts thinking about it. So he starts to think that the ambassador, Malcolm McDowell, he's like, hey, something's not right here. He might have been having an affair with Annabeth.
Yeah, because Annabeth was the lowest ranking member of the team, but yet she was handling a very high profile case.
Right.
And then we go to probably to date the best Woody scene.
To date, but we put an asterisk on that because we get an entire episode coming up after this that is Woody at some of his best outside of the Psych 2 movie, right? When he's doing that, when he's undercover. But Henry
come to visit the Stiffs.
Yeah, he goes to the morgue and the first line and the look on Woody's face, he says, come to visit the Stiffs. It's okay. I understand your fascination, the urge to comb their hair, try on their jewelry.
And unbelievable. Like,
it's just classic Woody. I love how his character has evolved too, because he went from being fairly straight laced but with just a hint of buffoonery to then just like full out absolute, just like, you know, satirical character. And
I'm here to help my son. You don't have to tell me, I know Gus well.
Yeah.
Sean, him too. Never thought of him as brothers though. Kind of a game changer, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely amazing, because Henry's on there because he wants to get information that will help, you know, help Sean, you know, and that exchange, because he just says it, and I think, you know, that Woody's delivery of his lines and his facial expressions are on par with James Rodet's. They're perfect. Sean's delivery.
She knew her attacker, or she paid somebody to murder.
But now that I hear about it, you're
now that I hear your theory,
it makes more sense, right? Just classic stuff, but it's delivery, it's the facial expressions. It's like him and Sean, they're just so like perfect with it that I think makes you laugh even more. You don't have to tell me. I know Gus well. It's just like that line alone. And then he keeps going into it. Yeah. Bit of a game changer. But we also see the other side of Woody that, you know, for now, we think of him as being really good at his job. Once we get to the episode with Whip Chatterley, we find out, yeah, maybe he's not so good at his job, but he does a bit of detective work because the ambassadors are in town, because Colin had been freed. You know, it's been in the news. It had Woody looking at this case and seeing and remembering some similarities between the young girl that Colin had been accused of murdering and taking a look at the two autopsies reports and saying, hey, they're kind of similar. They were killed in the same exact manner, in that the girl that's in the morgue now actually has a fingerprint on her. So Henry's like, don't release this information. And don't rush on identifying that print just yet. And when he says don't rush, Woody goes, I never do.
He also goes, so you're thinking the same killer? I was thinking replicate robots.
Yes, now that's your theory.
I like that better.
Yeah. And that's something I think Woody does a lot throughout the rest of the series. Like, I was thinking this, but your idea, you know, sounds better. Love that. But we get both sides of the coin here with Woody, which I absolutely love. So we head back to the diplomat's residence here, and this scene is great because before they actually go into the residence, they need, you know, you see Sean and Gus, you see the kid from the beginning of the episode who had hired Sean to get the Darth Vader action figure back. And then you see the kid, the ambassador's son, and these two little kids are little fucking shits. And what's important here before we get into some of the back and forth, and maybe we'll save that for favorite scenes, because there is a lot of great one-liners in there. They're all kind of arguing with each other. And as the British kid storms off, Sean swipes the kid's keys, right? So they can kind of get in the house and do a little bit more, you know, sleuthing. And what I love is that, cause this, there's a subtle little thing, Billy, that of all the funny things in this episode, this subtle little thing plays into one of my favorite moments. So they're kind of sneaking through the house. They're back into the room where Sean initially found the dead body. Sean's drinking a soda and he puts the soda down when he hears something, and they overhear a conversation, you know, about how the ambassador was indeed or did indeed have an affair. Was it with Annabeth or was it with the other? Anyways, he was having an affair. So Sean's like, oh shit, I can use this information. Gus goes, don't do it. Because we also hear the ambassador raving about Sean's skills. Mm-hmm. So they go out through the window again, and then they knock on the door. And I love how they played this off. Like, I had a psychic vision that you needed our help or something like that. Right. And Sean and Gus is just like, oh God, no, don't do it. You're going to get us fucking caught. And so, right, they go in there. Sean has another psychic vision. He gets the ambassador fully on board to hire them. And this is where Sean tries to get, the diplomatic immunity, and they get it.
Oh, that's great. And the back and forth, we talked about this a little bit already with him and the ambassador, where he's like, you know, you still have to pay taxes, all that kind of stuff. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It is really one of my favorite scenes, because anytime Sean thinks he knows about a culture and tries to talk about it, it's one of my favorite things, because like his goofiness is absolutely fantastic. By the way, that little shit kid, the real British one, he was also in an episode of Modern Family playing a New Yorker, and I distinctly remembered him because I looked him up and I was like, I know this fucking kid. He's been in like a bunch of stuff. He was in an SVU episode. Plays a great little shit.
Yeah, he's probably the unsub. It looks like a fucking unsub. So, what we get some crucial information now from this scene. Once we kind of get over the nice little comedic bit with the diplomatic immunity, you know, Ambassador, you know, tells the guys that Annabeth had tried to contact him the night that she was killed. And she just sent a text message that said the witnesses were right. Very cryptic. you know, we still at this point in the episode have no idea what it could possibly mean. And so, you know, they go up into the room where Sean found her initially, and he does his whole psychic thing. But a couple of things happen here. Because Sean, when he was in the room the first time around, he had seen a pair of shoes
in the closet.
And when he says, "Where are your shoes?" And he's like, "Your British accent is awful. Where did you get it from?" And he, again, we get another Phineas and Ferb, Harry Potter, and he starts naming off all these fictional things. And he's like, "Is there someone on there that's
Peter Pan, the Geico Gecko, Phineas and Ferb's granddad?"
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb's granddad, right? It was just great. But it might be my favorite moment of the episode, and it's the subtlest little thing. But Sean had been in that room maybe 20 minutes prior, and he'd put the drink down on the coffee table or the bedside table. So when they're all in there, and Sean's saying, he just picks up the can and he looks over and he takes a sip out of it. And the look on his face as he takes a sip out of that drink has me in stitches every fucking time, because it is the dumbest look on a person's face, and it's the wryest, most like sarcastic, smuggest of smiles you've ever seen. Just the way he does it, I don't know. It's a me thing, because it's really not that funny, but the look on his face kills me.
It's a very Sean thing too. I'm wondering if he asked to put that bit in, because there's no reason to do it plot wise.
Yeah. If it just sort of came up organically, if you rewatch the episode, when you get there, just look at Sean's face. It just cracks me up.
I got it right
every time.
But they like stop and look at him, and he does a lip curl.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. So they're trying to figure out, okay, who has possible motive? You know, who could it be? And Sean figures out that he wasn't the only one in the room that night because of the shoes. And so the killer was at the party. They asked who was sort of the last one to leave. And they said, well, Colin was there and he was the last one to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Colin was quote unquote falsely imprisoned for murder of a young woman. He's been released. Did she know something? Did he kill her to shut her up? We don't know, but now we've got a real potential suspect with some potential motive. And so they get, you know, Colin's address from the ambassador, which isn't really his house. He's staying with a host family, whatever. And they show up there, and Sean sticks his hand in the candy dish, real sticky toffee. The Brits love their toffee. I'm gonna tell you something, Billy, sticky toffee pudding is a fucking delight. When I was in Nova Scotia last fall, I had sticky toffee pudding every fucking night for dessert. It was exquisite. Anyways, it's why I'm fat. So Sean's going through the house, kind of snooping around a little bit. You know, his finger gets sticky from the candy. He, for some reason, looks at the fax machine, opens it up, and sees that there's a smudge on it. There's some suspicious pictures in Colin's backpack, you know, because he's doing the whole detective thing. And then we meet a new character, smug Brit, mm-hmm. right? And he happens to be the host, the father of the host family where we're calling to staying at. And he's also the ambassador's public affairs officer. So we get some more information here, but we go back to the station and we have an arrest that's made.
Mm-hmm. And just real quickly too, we get a good dynamic between Lassie and Jules and Sean and Gus at that house too, where Lassie is really bringing the tension and Sean is not doing anything to, you know, relieve it. And yeah, they go back, and now what's the British broad? Let's put broad counter here at one.
It wasn't me this time.
I think this is my first first broad. So but she is like, you know, you can tell she's a tough broad. Like, she was, you know, sticking up with the ambassador because they found her in her room. She's the one that moved the body. So she looked very guilty, but I don't think any of us pegged her as like the one. Maybe like initially when the door opens. I don't know.
I bet you'd like to though, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was getting real blue here all of a sudden. But it was her fingerprint that was on Annabeth's body. And she was just simply doing it to protect the ambassador, thinking that maybe he did it, which I thought was that was the one thing I thought was a little odd. Like, okay, so if I was him, I would have been pissed. Like, you thought I would have killed her? Like, what the fuck, right? Like, she's being good. She's being loyal. You're more loyal than a mini skirt on a... What did Gus say? She's more loyal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've got it written down later on, but it was a great line. But, like, I get, like...
A woman wears loyalty like a micro mini skirt.
There we go. Bingo, bango, baby. And, but if I'm the, I'm like, why the, you would have think I'd get fired if you think I'd do it. Like, I appreciate you moving the dead body, but like, yeah. I don't fucking do it, you know? But she thought she was just trying to protect her. But Sean knows that she wasn't the killer. It's fairly obvious. So now the guys try to confront Colin at the college campus. And the great thing about this episode is many, many iconic moments throughout it. And this scene here with Sean trying to commandeer a vehicle using his diplomatic immunity might be one of the funniest things ever.
It's a real quick scene. It's outside. It's in front of the college. It's very short, but like he pulls up on the sidewalk. It's hilarious. He doesn't feel like he's getting enough out of the immunity. And then he's like, let's kick it up a notch. Again, I've referenced it before, but when he just tosses, I think it's a Skittles package on the ground, it ruins me. Yeah. It's so funny.
And then when he tries to use a witch card as his,
his
official document for diplomatic immunity. Speaking of which, I had forgotten that witch was, you know, the card he had used on the episode. There's a witch in Westwood at Legacy, or it's not Legacy, it was at University Station where the Wegmans is. I've been there once. You ever been to a witch?
Yeah, they actually have from they come in like the little bag and like they
write
in your bag. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta write the whole thing out. I thought the process of ordering was dumb, but the sandwich was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, using the witch card, I thought, and Gus getting pissed, like, hey, that's my witch card. He's like, there isn't a witch around here for like 100 miles, you know, like who cares? Right. But that whole scene was just fucking hilarious. And then they get busted by the cops who throw Gus, Colin, and Sean in jail or in the clink, if you will, at the SPPD. And Lassie comes down. Yep. Lassie comes down. He lets Colin and Gus go, but Sean has to stay, which is like, what the fuck's going on here? And he goes, well, you know, you've been fired. You've lost your immunity. Maybe because of this. And he holds up a picture, a fax, if you will, with a smudge on it. And it very clearly is Sean Spencer, but you only see it from the back. And Sean, like you said, it's not a lie if you believe it. Mm-hmm. And Sean is able to get them. Like, that's not me. His hair doesn't part the right way. It's got this weird swirl pattern. You know, but it's not me. And Sean's got to prove it via a polygraph. And so this is our second polygraph in the most... up to this point, it's very consequential. I think the third polygraph, this is the most consequential one. The third one is actually pretty funny.
This is pretty heavy too. Like the entire dynamic of the episode changes. Everybody's in there. Henry, Chief Vic, you know, Sean and Gus, Lassie and Jules. And, you know, he asks him, you know, the, you know, standard question, the serious question of, you know, was this you in this picture?
Yep.
And then the real, like, curveball.
The bomb-dropping question, right? And so, but leading up to that, right, you know, he's, you know, you can tell Sean is digging deep. He, you know, you've got a sense he knows how to beat the system, you know, because of, you know, who his father was. But at this point, you just assumed it, Henry. Anyways. And he's going on, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, because I love her. Right. And then I love, this was a great little way they wrote this.
Oh, that comes first. I forgot.
Yeah. Right.
The psychic thing.
And so like, because I love her. And then you just get this little peek of Gus and Jules looking at the thing and no lie detected. Mm-hmm. And then just a little smile on
Jules. It's a great little touch. Yeah.
And then we get that followed up with, then Lassie asks, are you psychic?
See, I thought it was switched.
Yeah, no. Because that's what he ends with. Mm. And then what was great here is you can see Sean, you can tell he's trying to dig deep. And then when he says it, and it passes, then he has a ball with it, right? He starts saying it in Spanish and all these different languages. But what was subtle here that I loved, you know, last
well, he actually just says you were legless.
Yeah, right. When Lassie says, "Are you psychic?" the reaction from Gus, he rolls his eyes, pulls the clip off, is saying like he like the gig is up, he's gonna get busted.
Jake,
and yeah, and then no lie detected, and then like all the tension out of the room, it's just let out, and it was such a great scene and an unexpected one because it was the perfect time for Lassie to do that, and then for Sean to beat Lassie yet again. Like, that's just another tick mark for Sean and the Sean V. Lassie thing. It was, like, perfect. But there was a lot of great acting here, right? The
everybody.
The look from Jules, the thing from Gus, Sean, Henry, Lassie, Chief. It was such a good scene. And so Sean takes a look at the facts, and as I mentioned before, he noticed the smudge mark on it. And this is finally, like, now Sean knows. He's put it together. Because he remembered the smudge streak on the fax machine. He doesn't know the why or the how, but he knows the who. Or at least he believes he knows the
who. He knows the who of the house. He goes in there thinking it's Colin. But yep. Then he figures out during his, you know, wrap-up that it's actually Wignall. Because he's the one taking the photos. So that's why he has, like, the photos of Annabeth with Colin in them.
Yeah, so we get there, right? Because, you know, it's Colin, it's Wignall, it's the whole gang. And so what we get here, and the ambassador shows up as well. Sean's called in the cavalry. And Sean initially thinks it's Colin, but Colin's like, well, why would I have... I couldn't have been the one taking those pictures. I'm in them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a great little dig by Sean where he goes, oh, easy to get confused from a picture or something like that, right? Like,
I didn't love that. It's okay. It's a little
I didn't mind it.
Yeah. That's for me, like, I see why people like it. But for me, it's like, come on.
It was a little dig. I like it.
That's what difference makes us great. No.
I'm a fun haver. You're not.
Today, that's true. But so after... Scott, like, the big thing is when the Wignall walks down, you figure it out.
Yeah. Because you see the feet, you see the shoes, Sean puts it together. And what we find out from the ambassador is you've always had a problem with the young women. And then Sean's like, wait a second. He was the one taking the pictures. He was stalking them. He killed Annabeth, let Colin take the fall for it. Annabeth figured it out, so he had to kill her so she wouldn't expose him, right? So it was a great whodunit. It was a great motive. It was a motive that made sense, right? You've got this creepy pervert, you know, that killed a young woman. Like, it's very, like, high political intrigue, right? This is something that you might read in a good, you know, spy thriller or a good crime, you know, British crime fiction, which I do love to read. And I thought the reveal was great. The whole scene was great. And then after that, we get to the end scene. And this is something that Psych has been killing lately. Like, their end scenes, like, after the reveal, you know, I think for most of season 5 and right off the rip here on season 6, the way it sort of just, like, end caps the episode was fantastic. Because it's Sean back at the ambassador's residence. He's walking down the stairs with, you know, the ambassador. And he's like, I'm going to miss you, Sean. Right, because they developed a bit of a relationship, and he's like, you know, Sean tells Sean, he goes, well, you know, you're still gonna have to pay taxes. He goes, yeah, but I pay British taxes. They have to be cheaper, right?
Oh my god,
you really don't know anything about the UK, do you, Sean? He goes, oh, you know, just the good stuff: Morrissey, Gwyneth Paltrow, leprechauns.
Oh my god, that's amazing. The Morrissey reference is fantastic. Right?
And then he goes, I have to warn you, Ambassador, about your son. He's at risk of becoming a real a-hole. And he's like, yeah, you don't have to be a psychic to know that. And you could tell, like, he had this kid later on in life where he just really isn't there for the kid. You know, it's like, yeah, I got to fucking feed him and all that stuff. But to really, you know, there's two things that happens here. We get, you know, Lassie hooking himself.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is a baller move. I love that.
It is a baller
move. It's a direct threat.
Yeah, it's a real father move, right? Like, it's like, because he's, you know, it's not like he sees, you know, Jules as his daughter, but it is someone that he deeply cares for.
And like those hotos who bring out the shotgun during the prom pics.
Right, right. Oh, Jesus. And when he says, I will shoot you, and then Sean has a look at the thing, and he goes, fuck, no lie, detective. That
and he goes, that are you awful. Serious? No, he's like, so you'll discharge your weapon? And he goes, repeatedly.
And it's perfect, right? And then this is where we get the flashback scene to Henry with the terrible hair, teaching Sean how to, you know, defeat the polygraph test. And again, Henry has a really good, you know, face here, like a proud papa face when Sean, you know, passes it. Mm-hmm. So just soup to nuts here. Absolutely fantastic. Billy, let's hit that sounder, baby.
Woo, the time you call for it, I like did something that I've never done before in this thing. So here we go.
You're warm. You're red hot.
That you are. Thundercats, oh, baby. So we've already mentioned, you know, these scenes. But, you know, for me, the most memorable scene was any scene with Woody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the morgue with Henry. The opening scene with Gus in the car with the kid. This, like I said, this kid fucking stinks. He does a great job of playing a ding dong, and Gus clearly is just like, this kid fucking sucks. And he's like, isn't it time for you to go home? Get out of my car. And the kid gives him some lip, and he goes, I don't want to get caught in the car with an 11-year-old kid, right? Which that line was just perfect. And he said, get the hell out of my car. Like, Gus was sneaky good in this episode.
He was great. We're dealing with the crazy person here. When he says he likes the new Star Wars movies better.
Oh, we'll get to that. I got many of these back and forths written down here. But when, you know, some of the things that Sean was asking for, you know, pretty much also him, anytime he was at the ambassador's house with the ambassador, he's like, when he's going over diplomatic immunity, right? Can I rob a bank? Can I print my own money? Can you introduce me to Harry Potter?
Right? Fictional character.
Can I urinate on a public bus? And then maybe the best one is, can I drive 180 miles per hour? Scratch that. The blueberry can only do what? 60? You know, he's like working it through in his head. And then just, you know, where did you get your British Peter Pan, Geico Gecko, Freeze the First Granddad? Like,
fucking unbelievable.
Steve Franks must have at the time had kids that were 6, 7, 8 years old, or 10, 11, 12 years old, I should say, you know, that watched Phineas and Ferb, because you don't get two Phineas and Ferb references, you know, specifically written into the show if you don't have kids watching it. But then Sean and Gus with the two little shits as well, where, you know, Sean says something about, you know, you're going back to England? He's not going to New York, you moron. The embassy is in New York. If I were in England, we wouldn't be ambassadors, you twit.
Unbelievable delivery, too.
And they're just like, the guy when Gus goes, can I punch him? And Sean goes, right in the face. No one's peeing in anything except you in your bed, you wanker.
Oh, that kills me.
And then, like, Sean's got to hold Gus back because Gus is going at it. I've been watching a lot of Ted Lasso. I know I'm very tardy to the Ted Lasso party, but I've been watching the hell out of that. And I fucking love it. Like, Roy Kent, I think, is maybe
he's amazing.
Know, he's one of my all time favorite characters. And so I've been going around just calling people Muppets and Wankers. Oh, you Muppet. Oh, you Wanker. And then when the kid goes, I don't even like this toy anyways. The new Star Wars movies are better than the old ones anyways. We're dealing with a crazy person.
The way he delivers that too, the new Star Wars movies are better than the old ones anyways. Yeah. Like the way he delivers that is pure perfect.
It is. And then just when Sean goes, we're not dealing with a kid. He's the product of centuries of inbreeding, which is playing on that old trope of the British family there. So we talked about when Sean was trying to use the diplomatic immunity commandeer the car, and he busts out the witch stamp card, which was great. He's an ambassador, Jack, which means I could kill you right now. Nobody would say a word, not even you, because you'd be dead. But I wouldn't do the queen dirty like that, especially the trouble Prince Albert has gotten us into. Fucking killed me. I wouldn't do the queen dirty like that.
It fucking where like the Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrel episode. It's fucking hilarious when he's like the Queen, Sweet Lizzie. Where is that cheeky old dame?
Oh, dame, that's another great word too. That just, especially the trouble Prince Albert has gotten us into. It's just, he says it with such a ferocity.
It's the wouldn't do the queen dirty.
Yeah, I know. It really is.
Like that phrasing. Oh my god. But I wouldn't do the queen dirty like that.
Right. It was just, it was so good. It's like an all-time scene. It was fantastic. Lassie giving Sean the polygraph. We just talked about that, and especially the end scene with the polygraph and then the flashback. Like, the show just really nailed it. Like, there wasn't, the pacing was good. There wasn't a down moment. There wasn't, you know, any glaring flaws to, you know, the plot or anything. Like, this was peak pinnacle psych. This was a great way to start season 6.
Yeah, this is a definitive psych episode. It might not be the funniest thing ever, holding it back from maybe like a perfect score with some of like, you know, the laugh out loud moments. Although when we talk about them, it's like,
yeah,
it is pretty fucking hilarious. But I think it's just a slight bit off from one of my favorites, but it's one that I go back to often, and it delivers every single scene, segment, whatever.
Yeah. It really is. I didn't have anything. I don't have any bugaboos, any piccadillies, any to pick apart in that. So favorite
just character. Hard to tell somebody what somebody is in a picture.
I'll
forgive the one more. I'll forgive. Right.
So favorite character. I had Sean, but I was really close to giving it to Woody.
Him too. Like,
it was. He was so good. But spoiler alert, I can tell you who it's going to be for next episode.
Yeah,
Woody.
For both of us.
But the
two, Lassie's really good. All of them. Gus is really good.
Henry's great, you know. He comes out wearing the towel. Sean, I think I was with the lady of the night last night.
Henry Spencer, where are your pants?
It's a tremendous episode. But like, I thought the two little shithead kids were great too. But yeah, this was Sean, hands down, you know. As it typically is. So a couple quotes here that we didn't hit on yet. Sean goes, "I am your mother." He didn't say that. Your Sean. Mother.
Yeah. They do another one with when they're in season 8, I believe, too, where they're looking at James Earl Craig a murder, and like he gives like a weird like thing that isn't James, like Earl Jones's quote. It's just like,
yeah.
That kind of like little stuff, the misquoting famous things. This one's like, it's so bad, but I enjoy it.
I've heard it both ways without them saying I've heard it both ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. What else? When they first go to the diplomat's house and he starts trying to prove his mettle as a psychic, and he tells the bellboy where his coat is. And he's like, he found where my coat was with his finger. And then Sean does the whole, I thought that was great. We know you didn't kill her because you were in a magical place called Zurich. You mean Zurich?
That was going to be in my open, the Zurich.
The woman wears loyalty like a micro mini skirt. And then, did you just say you were legless? Or did you just say you were legless?
No, you just said you were legless.
Right.
And I also will go back to it real quick. Manscaping with Charles. Like when you just like, dive bobbing with the Queen, beer pong with Prince Harry.
Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So with that, let's segue into our last segment, William.
Boom, boom, boom. Muffins.
Hamburgers. Why would I say hamburgers? So a couple things here. I had to look it up because I didn't, you know, spot pineapple right away. It was on the staircase banister, I think, like a wooden pineapple, which is a big time. It's a big British symbol, the pineapple. So that makes sense. We got a Gus. Don't be the mystery mouseketeer. And I will tell you this. I didn't notice this until I rewatched it recently. And I fucking loved it. It was the great, again, someone here has got little kids, right? It's hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. It's a brand new day. What you waiting for? And when they go to bust out the mystery mouse couture, like It was such a great delivery and such a great reference. I love that I picked it up and that I had and that I missed it the first few times watching it.
I assume it has something to do with the Mickey Mouse Club. I don't know what a musketeer is.
So Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is a cartoon featuring Mickey, Goofy.
I've seen it.
Right. Yeah. So like they've got to overcome obstacles. And so they're given three objects. And then the fourth object is a mystery, is a question mark. And so they have to, you know.
Oh, it's the mystery.
And so the mystery Mouseketeer is the one that's a question mark. And when they ask for it, it's a random thing. And they've got to figure out how to use that to solve whatever problem.
I know my youngest niece liked it. And I was always like, huh, this is not something I had as a child. Like,
yeah,
I never really had like Mickey Mouse actual stuff pointed at me. It was just like a place.
Yeah. It was either a place or it was, you know,
like Fantasia.
Never watched Fantasia. You know, it was either someone you knew had a Mickey Mouse watch, an old family member, so I might have had a Mickey Mouse watch, or it was on some china at a relative's house somewhere. But yeah, we didn't have Mickey Mouse programming.
It was like straight up just Disney movies.
Yeah, right. No Gus nickname, surprising. Mm-hmm. So not a lot of the little tropes. But Henry father of the year moment, like knowing Sean might be in trouble, and he goes to Woody for help. I thought that was a real classic good dad move there. And then obscure references. Some of these are not so obscure, but we get a Harry Potter reference, Wonder Woman, Phineas and Ferb, Peter Pan, Russell Brand, Morrissey, Gwyneth Paltrow. So some great ones there. I'm right there with you, Billy. You're hemming and hawing there. But I'm right there with you. So rating 7, you know, pineapples, I should say, out of 8. What do you give it, Billy?
I'm gonna give it a 7.5. I think I could give it higher or slightly lower, just because when we went through it, it's a perfectly done psych episode, but I don't think it's, you know, one of my top 20s, maybe even. Like, there are episodes that are a little bit weaker that have better gags, have bigger laughs, but that still standing, this is very funny. This is a very funny episode of Psych. So I feel like 7.5 is kind of fair. I mean, basically everything that's good is a 7 for us. So it's just like a 0 through 10 within that.
Yeah, I was initially thinking my gut when I was around 7.75.
Yeah,
and then talking about it, laughing out loud, you and I going back and forth as we're going through this. I'm thinking about what my score is going to be. I'm thinking 7.5, and I see you write 7.55, 7.6. It's right in that area.
It's a very well done episode. Everybody does a great job. And maybe why it's not as near and dear to my heart as some of them is that I like the ones that are just straight up funny. And there are some serious plot points in this one that kind of, you know, move the story forward, which is great. But it didn't drag the episode at all. And all of those moments had pretty good comedy in them anyways.
Yeah. And I think this one just kind of gets put in the shadow of next week's episode. So come on, son.
Come on, son. Get that body with that bull.
Come on, son. What's next week's episode, Billy?
Is it your second favorite?
It might be. It might be. It's going to be a real exercise when this is all said and done, before we move on to Franklin and Bash, Rizzoli, whatever, Sirens, whatever we do next. When we rank every Psych episode and to see, you know, what our top 10s are. We know what Jake's top 10s are. It's going to be the 10 worst Psych episodes. Right. But this is up there. I mean, if this is not 2, this is a top 5, you know. But like Last Night, Gus, this is some of the most, because it's a hangover spoof, and it is some of the funniest moments I've laughed watching television ever.
That's hilarious. It's so good. And the coming out party of Gus, and this is great. And Woody also has one of my favorite things in this episode that I try as often as I can to like get it out of somebody. And I'm always like at a party of some sort, I'm always like, so when's the pinata coming out? And they're like, like, well, it happened once or twice where I could go, I was told this was a party. It's like, it's a very Sean-esque joke too, and like his delivery, I was told this was a party. Like, that fucking kills me.
And the dude working behind the counter at the donut shop, he's like, what, you think that's my thing?
Oh.
That I just go around betting soccer moms?
I think it's him or the other guy in the donut shop. One of them is one of the big-time writers on the show.
Oh, really?
And it's his first appearance, yeah.
And I think the kid was also in Jurassic Park.
You think it's the kid who fell out of the tree?
No, not the little blonde kid. So remember the beginning of Jurassic Park when they first land, they're first meeting the professor there, and there's that little kid, and he's got the raptor claw.
Yeah.
And that little fat kid at the dig site in the very, very beginning. I think that's him.
Oh, wow.
We'll have to look that up because they look strangely familiar. But anyways, last night, Gus, season 6, episode 2, it's an absolute all fucking timer. It's a Mount Rushmore for damn sure. And that's saying something. So, Billy, before we sign off, where can the fine people find us?
They can find us and all of the podcasts anywhere you find podcasts. They're all also on the Facebook Dork Shared Gooniverse page. Go see us there. We got Mac and Goo, Dork, obviously. And then we have TLDR, which is your other podcast, Change My Mind, which is your co-host's other podcast. And then I have a defunct podcast that will come back here and there if Scream ever does anything. PCP. And has anybody streamed in the last 6 months?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So we have streamers that are on the bench, but when they get back active, we'll let you know.
All right, I'm looking it up now, and I was correct. The actor's name is Whit Hertford. He is a donut guy, and he was, in fact, in Jurassic Park. It also looks like he was on Full House. This kid has got quite the resume, if you will. Whit.
Oh, Hertford. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, my God. Right? Yeah, good pull by Doc, huh? Good pull. So, until next week, Billy. Wait for it.
Bring us to the side.
Hi.